that I think is pertinent for this time. And if you're here, you are led by God. I want to touch something. I want to talk about money. praise the Lord. That's why I say you're in the right place. But I'm just laying something foundational. I promise you, if you understand or if you receive what I'm going to share, it will change your life. At least it should. Praise the Lord. Because I want to take things a bit slowly. And we'll see where the Lord takes us as the weeks come. If he allows me to go on with it. Today I want to lay a foundation like I always do. So we're going to talk about money, but specifically the spirit of mammon. And it's not what many of you think. Praise the Lord. So I want you to understand that over the past few weeks, the Lord has been leading us. Please listen to me. Very, very important. If there's anything you should listen to, it's anything to do with money. Hey, don't let any distractions come your way. This is very important. Over the past few weeks, we've been sharing about destiny and the elements of destiny and what God expects of you and how he gets you to a particular end. And it's this last week, I was explaining the patterns that you have to walk into in order to walk into your destiny. And I talked about vision. I touched on what? Strategy. Talked about authenticity. And what was the last one? Having a team. Praise the Lord. And I was sharing on that. And if you take these things that I'm sharing, extremely important, you will not lack in anything. Praise the Lord. So now it has come to a place where we can't talk about you reaching your destiny without talking about the element of money, finances. And it's very, very crucial. Now, before I go into it, I'm going to lay something that I think is extremely important. Extremely, extremely important. And as I was praying, the Lord told me those that are around for it will receive it as it is. So today I'm teaching on money. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to emphasize again, it's very foundational. But you realize perhaps where you're missing it and how far you need to go. We'll start by emphasizing that on earth, there are what we call principles of money. The principles of money include things like saving, investing, seeking out opportunities. There are principles of money that operate on the face of this earth. They do not need you to be born again in order to work. You understand? For example, giving is a principle of money, though it's deeper than money, but it's a principle of money. You don't need to be born again to believe in God for the principle to work for you. Are you with me? That's why all over the world we have philanthropists, we have, I think within Islam there's giving, various religious elements that practice the principle and it works out. Give and it shall be given unto you, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. It doesn't say give if you're a Christian. You understand? So the principle of money, the principles of money work irrespective of whether you're a Christian or not. You must know the principles of money. Amen. You should be aware of them. And you should know how they work. But that's not what I'm focusing on. There are also kingdom principles of money. The kingdom principles are different from the principles of money. Because the kingdom principles take it a notch higher and they focus on elements that have to do with tithe, first fruit, sowing, and the like. The difference between this second category of principles and the first category is that it's possible for you to be successful in the first principles, the first category, but there is no effect on the other in the other world. Okay? So you can practice these principles, the first principles, be efficient in them, but they're not saving up something for you in the other world. When you start now tapping into the kingdom principles, they do something for you on this earth as well as in the world to come. That's what Jesus then said when he said that if you're unfaithful in unrighteous mammon, How then shall we be trusted with the true riches? True riches being drawn and linked to the second principles. But the faithfulness to unrighteous mammon has to do with actually learning the elements of the first principles. Okay?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise the living God. Now, in order for you to understand this, you must then know that in the spirit world, and the past weeks I've been teaching and I've been emphasizing that when God created everything on the face of this earth, he created everything focusing on four major elements: wind, water, fire, and earth. Everything created is connected to those four major elements. And I said that there are other elements, but these are the four major ones. And you as a man were created from those four elements. Your water in that you're 70% water, earth in that dust was taken, fire in that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, and wind in that he breathed life into you.
Amen.
Am I moving too fast?
No.
Huh? Because I want to get somewhere. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, those four elements cut across everything that was created. And because they cut across everything that was created, God attached a spirit to anything that was created, as I was trying to show you. So there's, I showed you, is this thing working? Yeah, it's working, yeah? I hadn't given a scripture. Okay, Revelations 19 verse 17, eh? I showed you that because the Son was created, there's a spirit in the Son. Okay? And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And I explained to you that when Joshua said, stand, stand, sun, stand still, he was not talking to the sun, the element. He was talking to the spirit behind it. Okay? Right. We're heading somewhere. And I also explained to you that if you understand that, then you know that the devil is a counterfeiter. Because to everything that God created, he attached a spirit, including you. So there's an angel that God attached to each and every one of us. But the devil, being a counterfeiter, does exactly the same thing. So to everything that God created, he attached a spirit. With me so far? Okay? So in that sun, as well as the angel of the Lord that is in the sun, there's an angel connected to the sun that is a demonic being. Okay? How do we know that? If you look throughout history, ancient civilizations, there were people who worshipped the sun god. They're not worshiping because if it's an angel of God, he cannot receive that worship. There's a spirit that is attached to that, that presented itself as a God. Okay? So inside the sun, there is a spirit or spirits attached to it. And I explained to you that even when it comes to the wind, the Bible talks about the angels that attach to the four winds, four corners of the earth. So the angels attached to winds. I said that the angels attached to water. I'm laying a very crucial foundation for you to understand where we're going. So the angels attached to water. In Revelation chapter 9 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 4. John speaking, it says, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing. Actually, verse 14. 9:14, I believe. 9:14. Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Those angels are there now. As we speak right now, if you go to the river Euphrates, if you have spiritual eyes, those angels are bound inside that water. And I want you to understand that every water body has a spirit. That's why some of you who have been connected with some of our ancestors, they used to go and speak to spirits of water. And people call it witchcraft. But ideally, not every spirit is demonic that is attached to water. And I'm going to show it to you. So here, these ones specifically are demonic inside the river Euphrates. But I want you to understand, in the Atlantic Ocean, there's a spirit in charge. I want you to understand the Pacific, there's a spirit in charge. Down here, Lake Albert, there's a spirit in charge. The Nile, there's a spirit in charge. If you look back, some of you who have been around, when I was talking about the 10 plagues, I explained that when God issued judgment on Egypt with the 10 plagues, he was not attacking the infrastructure of Egypt. He was attacking the gods attached to each infrastructure. And so there was a god of the river Nile. He attacked it, turned it to blood. There was a god of the sun. The Egyptians called him Ra, turned the sun black. Are you with me? Pharaoh was considered a god, killed his son. He's attacking the gods. Okay? You're with me so far? So everything that is created has an element as a spirit behind it. That's why I believe it's Revelation 16 verse 5. Revelation 16 verse 5. So all these water bodies have spirits. Eh? Huh? And I had the angel of the waters. Huh? Another version says an angel in charge of the waters. Now this angel here is an angel of the Lord in charge of all the waters. He's not attached to a specific. Okay, you're with me so far? Okay? So that's what I'm trying to show you. That if someone, for example, that's why if you look back in the New Testament, there was an angel that was attached to the pool of Bethesda. So that whenever that angel would come down, it would stir up the water. Whoever went in would get healed. I'm telling you, every water body. Now, someone then asked me, what about a swimming pool? And I want you to understand that when someone is building a structure, whoever they dedicate the structure to, the spirit, then... I know what I'm talking about. Eh? Praise the Lord. So, when you understand this, that everything on the face of this earth has an angel attached to it, as an angel in charge, eh? Elements, all these elements, including yourself, there's someone attached. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Daniel, and I have to press this in, it talks about the prince of Persia, talks about the prince of Greece, okay? Talks about Michael being the prince of Israel, okay? So even nations themselves and territories have angels over them. And you see, the way it works is this, that an angel of the territory of Kenya cannot cross into the territory of Uganda and vice versa. If two countries are at war in the spirit, these ones must have first. Okay? Okay. This is very important what I'm telling you. The reason why I'm telling you this is because you begin to realize that if a nation, for example, in the book of Daniel, the prince of Persia was destroyed and the prince of Greece came up, that angel that had rank as the prince of Persia begins to fade away in the spirit. Its power and authority fades because the nation that it's in charge of has also faded. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Okay? Now, if that is true of nations, then it's if a nation is called the most powerful nation, there's a being that has rank. It's not just random. And as long as that being stands, that nation stays in its current structure. So the link between a nation's rise is connected to the rise of a spirit, of that spirit being. In the same way, when a person here on earth, if an individual, when they rise, when you rise through elements, through levels, when you rise, your spirit being rises with you. Amen. There is a connection. Amen. So right now they're saying, "Man, nang, get these principles. I need to rise." Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. There are people, you see, when God wants to call judgment upon a nation, if God wants to judge, say, Uganda or America or wherever, God does not just judge the nation. What God does is that those beings appear before him in the courtroom, the ones in charge. Yes. Now, you... So they appear before him, then God then will instill and give reasons as to why he's bringing judgment. Now, is God all-knowing? Yes, he's all-knowing. God is omniscient, but he set up a system that he faithfully follows. That's why God can easily heal someone without your prayer, but he follows certain principles because it's him. He works with people. He likes to delegate. Amen. Are you with me? Yeah. If you know, you're going to be blessed. Where I'm heading. Now, because those things can't be carried out without those beings initially, no judgment can be carried out without these beings coming up to represent. That's why if you look in the book of Zechariah, even when it came to an individual, okay, he's on earth, a guy called Joshua, but his spirit is before God, and they say, remove his filthy rags. And yet the guy on earth is a priest, and he probably has no clue of what's going on in the spirit. And let's leave that. So God does these things for a reason. He set up structures. So in the spirit, there are hierarchies. Just like I showed you that there are spirits in charge of water, there are spirits in charge of fire, there are spirits, then there are spirits above them. There's a spirit in charge of this planet. A godly spirit. Now, people think at this current stage, It's, you know, people say that the world belongs to Jesus. In principle, it does, but in reality, not yet. Amen. You know why? Because you can go to various parts of this earth that demons are holding as strongholds. Amen. Praise the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, now, because once you understand that, and once you know how spiritual things work, you will not just enter a territory for men of God who understand rank in the spirit, before they enter particular countries, if the principality there is godly, they will first take a seed.
Amen.
And I know what I'm talking about. You don't break that protocol. When God is going to give judgment, whether good or bad, it's not just the angel that shows up. Sometimes there's a person in that nation who ranks as a principality, and he shows up in the courtroom.
Amen. Amen.
So it's not just the angel, even him, he has come. Those are what we call the counsel of the Lord.
Amen.
We're heading to money, don't worry, yeah? I'm getting there. Which brings me then to the element of the spirit of Mammon. If you have understood what I've been sharing with you right now, if you have understood the ranks that I'm trying to imply to you, you will then understand that there's a spirit of Mammon. The spirit of Mammon is a spirit that specifically attaches itself to money, specifically. Now, many of you have heard that, but it's not just another spirit. It is a very high-ranking spirit in the spiritual realm. Very, very high-ranking. Give me Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Give me the Amplified. I like the classified version, Amplified. It says, is this the one? Give me that. That's the one. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits. Now, please understand, there are master spirits. There are spirits, then there are master spirit. Mammon is a master spirit. There are at least 7 that I know, not for today, but Mammon is the chief, high-ranking master spirit. Chief. These spirits that are referred to as master spirits cannot operate. You see, the kingdom of the devil would not be able to operate effectively without these master spirits. They are so important to the work that the enemy is doing. Especially the spirit of Mammon. Especially. Now, this spirit called Mammon is the only spirit in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 4, where Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Then he says, you cannot serve God and Mammon. God's direct opposition is not the devil. God's direct opposition is a spirit called Mammon. Direct. Now, the reason why that's important is to emphasize the point that even Jesus was able to acknowledge that this spirit is a master spirit, very, very high ranking. The reason why it's high ranking is that, you see, it's not only just in charge of money, it has other spirits that work under it. These spirits that work under it, I'll give you an example of some. There is a spirit that birthed the Babylonian system. It's a spirit under the spirit of Mammon that deals directly with economies and governments. Okay? That spirit has set up the system the way it is now. Okay? Unless you are part of the system, it's very hard for you to get the advantages that system is supposed to provide to you. Okay? So, you can say, you've heard of the rat race, okay? For those who don't know, the rat race just means that you always find yourself in a situation where you're always in need. Constantly, you're just running around trying to make ends meet. And the world has set up that system. It's a system set up by that spirit that started at the Tower of Babel and has become the Babylonian system, the apex of which, when the Antichrist shows up, he will use it. That's why the Bible says in the last days, none shall be able to buy or sell. Okay? The true element of that system is to ensure that people are held by debt. Now, I want you to understand, what have I said? There's a spirit of Mammon. Right under that spirit of Mammon, there is a spirit of the Babylonian spirit, or I'll call it the Babylonian spirit, that deals with economies and governments. But then there is a spirit that deals with the desires of a man. Very different from the Babylonian spirit. That spirit manipulates the desires. So it works on a man to ensure that his focus moves away from the things that God desires and falls strictly on money. That's why it says the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of it. And so what one of the signs of that spirit working in a person is that stinginess, greed. When someone is willing to kill for money, that spirit is working because it has developed a desire in you. It's different from, and I know its name, but I won't mention it today. Okay? So there's that spirit. There's a spirit linked, there's another spirit under Mammon linked directly to debt. The spirit of debt. Now, please understand that while the others are actual beings, the spirit of debt is actually a garment you wear. I don't know. The spirit of debt is actually a garment you wear. Now, please, I would like to distinguish this particular spirit. I would like to distinguish it from someone who's using the principles of money, who's using debt to be able to carry out a particular business. That's different from the spirit of debt. Are you with me?
Yes.
Although, that's a worldly system, but it's not yet the spirit of debt. When a spirit of debt is operating, someone is putting on a garment. When they put on a garment, even when they pay a debt, another debt shows up. You understand? You're stuck in a constant cycle. You're in a place of constant need. Someone wears it. The spirit of debt has various... Are you guys listening to me? Okay. So the spirit of debt has various aspects in it. But please understand that initially it began in the Garden of Eden. And debt in the Bible is equated to sin. That's why Jesus, when he was giving the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Direct translation, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So debt and sin are equated to each other biblically. So when Adam sinned, there was a debt that needed to be paid. That's the first birth of that spirit. Huh? Praise the Lord. So, that spirit then began to take on various forms. So, there is what we call a universal debt. That debt is sin. It's universal. It cuts across as long as you're on this planet. It cuts across. There's a universal debt. There is a global debt. I think last year, the global debt financially was about $300 trillion. That's a global debt. Okay? Then you have a continental debt, you have a national debt, you have a personal debt. There's debt that is inherited. Now, there's debt that is inherited on a personal level, on a natural level. Then there's debt that is inherited spiritually. Praise the living God.
Amen.
Okay, 2 Samuel. What was it? 2 Samuel, I think chapter 3. Verse 28 to 29. Okay. And afterwards, when David heard it, so there's a guy called Joab. He kills one of David's men called Abner. Huh? And this is what David says. Afterwards, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Next verse. Let it rest on the head of Joab, the one who was killed. Now, these are dangerous words. And all his fathers. And let there not fail from the house of Joab one that has an issue. All that is a leper. All that leaneth on a staff. All that falleth on a sword. All that lacketh bread. This is a curse. Now, what he's saying is Joab has killed Abner. And David is speaking that based on the action of Joab, there is no one in his lineage There's not going to be an entire person in his lineage who doesn't lack one of these things.
Amen.
Now, that means debt is not just financial. A person, an act, can lead to a debt that is passed on through the blood. So in this case, what would happen is that if a person had four children, in one child, in one lineage, you see those who are lepers. In another one, you see one, everyone's always dying. Another one, no matter what they do, they lack bread. So there is an inherited... Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I pray you're listening to me. Eh? Huh? Praise the living God. So this spirit of debt, very dangerous spirit, and hopefully someday I'll come and talk about it. Because you see, there are individuals, and I know them in this place right now. There are people who are constantly in their mind, constantly asking people for money. Constantly. And you're wearing that thing. Wearing it. Even as a child of God. Constantly. You use this one to pay the other one. Use the other one to pay this one. To pay this one. That's not your portion.
Amen.
So, we're going to deal with some of these things. Eh?
Amen.
So, there is a spirit of debt. And all these, remember I'm telling you, they are under Mammon. There is another spirit called the spirit of poverty. Imagine, it's not the spirit of debt. It's not the Babylonian system. There's a spirit of poverty. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 to 11. I believe it is. 10 to 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of our hands to sleep. Verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. Then he says, and thy want as an armed man. Can you give me the amplified of that? So will your poverty come like a robber, or one who travels with slowly but surely approaching steps, and your want like an armed man. Now what this scripture is saying is that there is this spirit called poverty. This spirit is an actual being, and it attacks. He's saying it comes like a robber. Okay? Comes like a robber or an armed man. It comes and takes over. Now, there are varying degrees of poverty. Can I touch this? I told you. Okay. The varying degrees of poverty. There is a poverty in Job chapter 21, verse 25, I believe. Job 21, verse 25. Eh? Do you have the CEV version? That's contemporary. 21:25. Let's first read this. And another, start from verse 24. Jesus Christ. Thank God it says his. Okay, start from verse 23. You guys are laughing. Huh? Now, Job here is talking about two types of people. Eh? Have you got the CEV? You look for it. Eh? Job 21:23. One dieth in his full strength. He's talking about two types of people. Being wholly at ease and quiet. There's a person who dies in his full strength. Wholly at ease and quiet. Verse 24. His breasts are full of milk. His bones are moistened with marrow. It's one category of person. Verse 25. And another, this is a different person, dieth in the bitterness of his soul and never eateth with pleasure. Give me an amplified of that. From verse 23. One dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. 24. His pails are full of milk, his veins are filled with nourishment, and the marrow of his bones is fresh and moist. 25. Whereas as another man dies in bitterness of soul and never tastes of pleasure or good fortune. I need that CEV. It brings it out for me best. The CEV, I think, says something about This person, their entire life, they've never seen the goodness of God. They've never seen profit. They've never seen goodness. Their entire life. There's what we call the bitterness of poverty. It's a type of poverty where a person comes into this world poor, and their entire life, until the day they die, they're poor. This is what he's talking about. Okay, can you give me NIV of that verse? Give me the NIV. Another man dies in the bitterness of his soul. Never, having enjoyed anything good, never. There is that, the bitterness of poverty, the Bible refers to it. You're born, your entire life, you're in lack. If there is a place where everyone is supposed to have a shoe, you'll be the one person without one. The bitterness of poverty. This scripture here is where you can see that poverty is a curse. There's nothing good about it. These things of what, Mvu? Oh, what, you know, humility. Now, this is high level. It's high level poverty. Huh? And I'm going to show you that there's something totally different. So there's that. There is another poverty where a person is always at the stage of just enough. They never enter more than enough. They're always just, you're just surviving. Just. It's a form of poverty. It's not as bad as the other one, but it's a form of poverty all the same. And you know that the God that you serve is a God of more than enough. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above anything you could ever. You see, that's the God that you serve. So if you're Christian falling in this category, something is not right. That thing of just enough, you know, where they pay you your money, and yes, you've had food, but if they delay payment for just one day, you're finished. It's just enough. And some of you are laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. That just enough. And so you take that posture of just enough, you bring it to church. And so when you're like, the offertory bag, you know that if you give this 1,000, you're finished. There's no transport the next day. Just enough. It's another kind of poverty. That is not your portion. So what I'm trying to show you, in Proverbs, sorry, did you get the CEV? Show it to me. Is it okay? Okay. Who can tell God what to do? He judges powerful rulers. Next verse. Some of us die prosperous. Now that is the right way to go. Go on. Enjoying good health. Amen. That means your dying is not because of bad health. Yes. Verse 20. Go on. While others die in having known only not your portion. But there's a category, and I've met people like this. Now, what I need you to understand is that on the day that you were born, God put in you all the tools necessary for you to be effective in your destiny. And those tools included a certain amount of wealth that was needed for your destiny. There is no one, by the will of God, born poor. Here, when something like this happens that we've explained, when something like this happens, it would have come as a result of what I showed you in 2 Samuel, where a cause entered the bloodline. Are you with me? But it's not the desire of God for someone to be born like this, where they know only pain their entire life. Praise the living God. And so when you are born, God puts in you all the tools necessary for wealth and manifestation, all those that are necessary. I wish I could show you that actually, if someone has spiritual eyes, they can look at someone and see the amount that is given to them. That amount, the more you walk along that destiny, that path, that amount keeps increasing.
Amen.
But here's the interesting thing. Just as that amount, what God has given you, that treasury has given you, is inside of you, poverty, that spirit, watches everyone from a distance. Everyone. The degree of closeness that poverty has differs. I say again, the degree of closeness that poverty, to some people, poverty stands so far. It follows, but it's too far, waiting for a mistake. Huh? Some people, poverty. Now, let me show you a scripture. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 34. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 34. If you could give me the message version of that. Eh? Huh? You can look forward to a dirt poor life. That's not your portion, eh? give me the, go on, next verse. There are also those, start from verse 23, I believe. I mean, verse 33. Okay. An up here, an up there. A day of here, a day of there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? verse 34. And it says, just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life. Give me an amplified. So shall your poverty come as a robber and your want as an armed man. Let me see, what other version? Do you have ESV? I just want to hit this home, eh? If you don't have it, it's okay. There is a version that says that poverty has made a home as a guest. In other words, the thing has come, entered your house. And the best thing about that verse, I've forgotten which version it is. You Google it and put it up there. That ideally, poverty comes into someone's home as a guest and sits. And makes a home there. And the good thing, the Bible helps us. It says it is a guest. Huh? Just a guest that has over. Without that word guest, things would be tough. Yeah? But guest actually implies that that spirit can be kicked out. You tell me when you find it. I found it. So some people, it has degrees of closeness. Now, I want you to understand that every spirit has an atmosphere. Every spirit. So the closer this spirit of poverty is around you, there's an atmosphere that it influences around, especially when it has entered someone's house. Ever been in a situation, no matter how much money you receive, it's gone? Just, you know? And I'm going to show you, because remember I told you that there are spirits that are under Mammon? There's another spirit called the Devourer. Now, that spirit is a spirit mentioned in Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. Now, I want you to understand that this is the importance. Please listen to me carefully. That, let's start from verse 10. Malachi chapter 3 from verse 10. Bring all the tithes. Some of you don't like these ones, eh? These are scriptures. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, eh? That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. Now, most people, when they talk about tithe, they attach tithe to blessing, which is true because the Bible says the windows of heaven shall be opened. But you see, there are various other ways that God can bless you in Scripture. The Bible says you shall be blessed when you go in, blessed when you go out. It's a type of blessing that you receive. We'll talk about what that actually means. Scripture says, blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the Lord. You understand? So there's a blessing for that. There's a blessing. The Bible says, honor your father and mother, you shall have long life. There's a blessing. So God provides various aspects of blessing. So it's not just tithe, although tithe opens up the windows of blessing. The element, the importance of tithe is this next verse. Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. There's a spirit called the devourer. Now listen to me carefully. That spirit called the devourer takes on the form of a locust, if you see it in the spirit. It takes on a form of a locust. What does it do? It does two major things. That spirit eats up time. You know, you've been in a situation where you're constantly, you're doing things, time is moving, but it's like you've done nothing. Or you sit there, the year has ended, and you look back, you've done absolutely nothing. Nothing seems to be moving in your life. It's just your time is being eaten up. That spirit eats up time. It is seen in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, when God says, He says, I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. Notice that locust was eating time. Ah, man. You. And you see, it mentions locust had eaten, the cankerworm, all these are different types of that spirit. It's not referring to your guys. The cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Now, this spirit can eat up time, but secondly, it can eat up substance. Amos 9 verse 4. Amos 9 verse 4. Gosh, time can run, eh? Amos 9. Yes, it's being eaten up, eh? The problem is that you're two good students. Ah, that's your problem. Ah. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, hence will I command the sword. Is that the scripture I'm looking for? I said Amos 9, eh? Yeah. And it shall slay them, and I will set my eyes upon them for evil and not for good. That's not the scripture I'm looking for. Hold on, let me get it. Is it Amos? Amos 4:9, not 9:4. I highlighted it on my Bible. I have smitten you with blasting and mild dew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have yet not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Now this spirit called the devourer eats up time, but also eats up substance. So you get something, you get it, like I was explaining, you get money, it's gone. And the only thing biblically that can deal with this spirit is tithing. Now, I want you to do things not just for the sake of doing them. Do them with revelation. It insulates your time so that with time, you're productive. Now you will understand the importance. It will be easier. We shall see. But I want you to understand why specific things are done. So, the tithe, I had to quote a lot of scriptures for the sake of, because when you're touching money, you have to be clear. Yeah? Romans 11:16 says, it says something about when the part is holy, then the whole is holy. It's talking about the element. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. Amen. So it's referring to that part that you've taken off. If it's holy, then it secures the other part. That's what tithing does. Eh? Okay, so that cankerworm, that devourer cannot. Let me tell you, you go to a man of God, you're not tithing. I say, what? I don't know, I'm not productive. I pray over you. What? I pray. You will pray. I'm telling you, the only element given in scripture for that particular issue, time being eaten up and your produce not just being chewed up, is tithing. And there's a difference between tithing for the sake of tithing and tithing with revelation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're too quiet. Eh? Are you guys understanding?
Yes.
So I told you the types of poverty. And that's not your portion, eh? We need to talk about types of wealth. Eh? But I need you to know this because I need you to know how the devil attacks. And how you can counter him. So I've just shown you one way to counter him. Tithe. Amen. In Deuteronomy 15 verse 46, this is what the Lord said. Speaking to his people. What did he say? Deuteronomy 15, 4 to 6. Save when there shall be no poor among you. Huh? Give me the NIV. However, I want you to read it now. However, the next part, huh? There should be. Now, even if you stop there. There should be. That is the desire of God. That the moment you enter that promised land, that element of destiny, those aspects, those places that God has prepared for you along that path, there should be no poor among you. Amen. Not even one. Amen. Now, I don't want to show you, but in Proverbs chapter 23, don't go there, it implies that somehow when someone walks away from the destiny that God has set for them, that their riches fly. That they fly away. And you see, the only thing, they're the only thing keeping poverty at a distance. So when they fly, he comes closer. Then he comes and makes a home. Becomes a guest in your house. Praise the living God. Okay, I want to tell you quickly how we're supposed to deal with these things. This is a whole teaching. It's supposed to be a series. But I never know what the Lord would have planned for me or for you. How do you deal with these things? And this is where you should listen very carefully. How do you deal with something like this? There's something in my life, there's no money or it's not enough, I'm not operating in more than enough. How do I deal with it? You need to understand that there are types of giving. And I'm not saying that like someone says, now, there are types of giving, this type of giving, this type of giving. No. In Matthew, chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, verse 42 to 43. Matthew chapter 12, verse 42 to 43. Actually, give me verse 43. Mark chapter 12, 42 to 43. And there came a certain poor widow. You know this story. She threw in 2 mites. Now, mites is the amount of money she gave in. Now, I want you to understand something. This is very important. That Jesus, as people were giving, he was observing. He was observing their giving. And what this scripture is telling us is that this widow comes and gives money, but it doesn't just say she gave an offering. It tells us the amount. Now this is this is very important to understand, that I'm not referring to the fact that the amount that she gave, I'm referring to the fact that the amount was known. Okay? Which means then that there is a way in which an amount, someone can give and the amount is known. Now, I want to show you, because most people, I want to show you that there is nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with recognizing someone for giving an amount. Nothing wrong with it. I'll show you. Mark chapter 7, eh? Is it Mark? Luke chapter 7, verse 4 to 6. Quick. Luke chapter 7, verse 4 to 6. And when they came to Jesus, these are guys coming to Jesus. These are the Pharisees. This is the only time they are coming. Before they would come to Jesus looking for fault, this time they're coming to Jesus on behalf of someone. Pharisees, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, So what they're saying is that there was a particular person who had done something for them, and they came telling Jesus, do something for this person because he is worthy. Next verse. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Another version says temple. There was an individual who he gave towards the church, and they knew how much he was giving. And that amount of giving led to his miracle. Because if he had done it in secret, he would not have this miracle. I don't know. Now, I need you to understand what I'm saying. Please, there's a scripture that says when your right hand gives, your left hand should not know. There's that. But what I'm saying here is there is a kind of giving, a kind, where a person gives an amount, and as a ministry, we say this person has given this amount, we'd like to recognize them. The miracle of giving an amount does not manipulate God into working out for you. What it does is that there are types of giving, like the one I've mentioned, that have blessings attached to them. It's a type of giving where you get your money beyond the normal, and you give it, and because of that type, there's a kind of miracle you receive. Amen. I don't know if you... So there's actually nothing wrong with someone being recognized for it. Nothing wrong with it. That kind, I don't want to dwell on it, but it's extremely important you understand that God pays attention even to amount. And I'm using scripture because when we talk about money, things are... Okay, quick. The next ones that I'm going through, even if you forget 90% of the rest, these ones will sort you out. They should. Amen. 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8. Now, I want to talk to men for a moment. Can I?
Yes.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
1 Timothy 5:8. Quick. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, what this scripture is saying, if a person, now listen very carefully what I'm saying. You have a household, but you're not providing for it. Scripture says you've denied the faith. Now, husbands, now, I need you. There's some people, this thing here, and I'm going to show you that even Jesus directed it personally. I'm going to show it to you. Timothy says it. Can you, let's put it in a language you understand. Give me the Amplified. So that no one can say I didn't understand that one. If anyone fails to provide for his relatives, and especially for those of his own, he has disowned. We haven't even gone to offering church yet. It starts from your house. Yeah. The silence. I'm not the one saying. I'm not the one. You have no idea how I wish I could remove it. Eh? But what it's saying is that, and I'm going to show you, a man gets money. His family is starving and goes and sows in church. He has denied tough things here. Tough things. I'm glad there are scriptures to back me up. Now, this is the reason why, and I tell you, the right people are here. This is the reason why poverty, this is why mammon is an important tool for the devil. Because one way of denying your faith is not providing for your household. No matter how much you shout, I'm a believer. That is not me, it is here. He has disowned the faith by failing to accompany it with fruits in his house. One of the reasons for, okay, 1 Timothy 3, I might talk too much. And people say, where is that in the Bible? Let me give it to you. 1 Timothy 3, 4 to 5. 3, 4 to 5. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Verse 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So before you go to church, and you say, you know, some of these things people navigate around. Me, I'll tell it to you as it is. There is a brokenness attached to denying your household. No matter how much you go so, you first, your kids have to eat, your wife has eaten. Huh? This, by the way, is the beginning of richness. Amen. It's the beginning. Amen. It is not me. Yes. It is in? Yeah. Yeah. It is the beginning of wealth. That's where it starts from. Now, I'm going to show you, because I'm going to touch, step on people's toes here. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, Mark 7, verse 10 to 13. You have the CEV. Give me the CEV of this. Mark 7, 10 to 13. Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso... no, that's not it. Give me the CEV. Okay, I'll read this on as... You sure you have it? Give it to me. Quick. If we take long, people, the toes I'm stepping on start healing. And I need these toes. I need these toes to continue painting. Please, give me the amplified. For Moses said, honor, revere, with tenderness of feeling and deference, your father and your mother. And he who curses or reviles or speaks evil of or abuses or treats improperly his father or mother, let him surely die. This is Jesus speaking. And he's saying, let him surely die. Now, the death here is not that just the death of I've left this earth. Death has various forms. One of them is poverty. Now, the next verse, verse 11. He says, but as for you, you say, he's talking to Pharisees, a man is exempt if he tells his mother, his father, what you would otherwise have gained from me, everything I have that would have been of use to you is korban. Korban meaning gift. That is a gift already given as an offering to God. What the scripture is saying is that someone goes and says, mom, dad, I could have given this to you, but it's for church. Ay, 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 today. Give me, you have that CEV. Give it to me. I just feel like, yeah. I want to show you, some of us have walked into, there's nothing wrong going to mom and dad and say, mommy, God bless you. You can't be broke. Me, I'm telling you. You can't. And not, I'm not saying one off. I'm saying you do it often. Now, if you don't have a father and mother, someone who steps in. If you have an issue with your father and mother, if there's an issue and you've tried to reconcile it and they've refused the gifting, you're set free. But you're set free from that element. But someone denying, Jesus himself said it. So you guys are telling people that this thing here that you're supposed to give, mommy, daddy, it is for the church. I'm saying such a person would rather die. Manange, CEV has become CEV. Okay. Didn't Moses command you to respect your father and mother? Didn't he tell you to put to death all who curse their parents? Go on. But you let people get by without helping their parents. When they? You let them say that what they own has been offered to? Not me. It is. Now, I'm telling you, before I haven't even gone to offering yet, I'm saying first start in your house. First is that you have clothes on your body. You have food. There's someone in your, people in your house, your household can eat. They can drink a blessing. After that, you're not yet going to church. You say, Mama, God bless you, Mommy. There's a blessing.
Amen.
I'm not the one saying it. Jesus says it. And give me the next verse. Listen to what he says. He says, you won't let those people help their parents. Go on. And you ignore God's commands in order to follow your own teaching. You do a lot of other things just as bad. You want to walk into wealth. Now I'm telling you this as a minister. I could have easily have said, bring all your offering. But I'm trying to tell you the elements. Whenever I go to see my parents, I cannot go empty-handed. Me? No. Just my mother saying, thank you so much. God bless you. It has sorted out like 2 months. Meanwhile, you're going to a man of God every day. Man of God, bless me, bless me, bless me. You're ignoring the people at home. That's why you're broke. And that's why, let me tell you, you will go to a powerful anointing. The anointing will say, I release blessing. You're still in your situation. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I will step on those toes until you understand. But now let's go to offering. Okay, let's go. Let's go now to offering. But these things touch my heart dearly. When I see someone neglecting their house, every day they secretly go in to go and see a man of God to give them seed. But at home, your wife, your children are hungry. May God rebuke you dearly. This is a tough one today. Husband, say amen, eh?
Amen.
Another thing that causes situations. Listen, in 1 Peter 3, if that woman sheds a tear, we should end fellowship. we should end fellowship. 1 Peter 3, 7. Let's go there. 1 Peter 3, 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto. Now, some people are honoring their man of God, but are not honoring. May God rebuke you. Do you know, I take this scripture so seriously that when I get home and my wife is out of sorts, I say, what's wrong? I say, nothing. I say, you want to hinder my prayers? What? What's your problem? Huh? You tell me. But yeah, this is it. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, this is dealing with a situation that you have directly caused. Directly. Then you go out, you sow, do business, what? That tear. I told you, women are dangerous. Huh? That gender, eh? But you please understand, eh? This is specifically to wives. So if you're not one, eh? Now. But you imagine that power where someone is unhappy. You go to do business and everything is failing. You come home and tell her, what do you think you know? You don't know anything about business. Yet she's the source of your failure. Once there's a smile on that mouth. Hi, honey. The spirit world opens floodgates. Some guys are not happy. Me, I'm not the one who wrote the Bible. I'm not the one who wrote it. Me, I know. There are times, let me tell you, there are things I've tried to do, and I see, man, this thing is getting a bit. And my wife doesn't know. Sometimes I'm like, first have this. And she's like, for what? I say, just have. And I say, Then I go back and try to do it and it opens. Hey! My wife will tell you, eh? And this is a tough one for some guys, eh? I wish she would tell you. My wallet does not have a no-go zone, eh? In the morning I can be in bed, then I just hear kuch, kuch. Good morning. Now I'm still learning to say, why are you taking money? Oh, my sweet Jesus. Husband, say amen.
Amen.
Future husband, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I have to do this quickly because I want us to wind up. But those tears in a household can actually hold back a lot of things. I haven't gone to offering. Do you know, and I really need to touch this because I feel you need to understand this. Do you know that a woman should have the right to have her own money? Now listen to me carefully. If you want her to be a housewife, she's working for you. She should be compensated. And you know, now, I'm telling you spiritual things. That's why I'm telling you what I'm telling you is very true. For me, I would rather not have money in my pocket and my wife has. God is my witness. I'm telling you. And you see, Luke chapter 8, verse 3. I feel like I don't know when I'll teach this again. So let's just touch it and I move on. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance, not their husbands. They had their own money. Now, you'll learn later. I'll teach you the rules. A woman has a right, a wife, has a right to say to the husband, I don't have money, even though she doesn't. She does. Now, this is very, very important because I'm going to tell you. But the husband does not have that right. Because if he doesn't have, he has to look for it. Now, I'm spoiling people today. Now, that, you see, that doesn't mean that whenever there's a dire situation, she can release of what she has to help the situation. But it shouldn't be something consistent. Amen. Eh? These ladies contributed to Jesus' ministry out of their own substance, not their husbands. Okay, let me leave these things. Eh? Very true. Although any money that is within the house falls under the husband's control. Huh? But if you're a man and you control all the money and your wife does not have her own, you're wicked. That is the word. Wicked. So I told you. Meet your household. Once you sort that household thing, next thing, parents, actually before even parents, your wife, if you're married, just honor them. Honor them, even if they have money. Because you need that blessing. It's very, very important. Then we can now go to church. Okay? Now, when we bring you to the element of church, in 1 Corinthians 16:1, it talks about offering. 1 Corinthians 16:1, I want to show you the importance of this. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, there's what we call the collection for the saints, which is offering. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. When we collect offering, Paul called it the collection for the saints. When an offering is collected, even partnership can fall in that, although it has a different dimension, but it's similar. When you collect offering, the purpose of it is to create. That's why he calls it the collection of the saints, to sort out the elements of the saints in that fellowship. So the fact that we pay for the venue, offering, and partnership, the fact that we have music here, the fact that we have screens, all that is offering. offering creates the environment necessary for worship. Without offering, it's not there. There is a blessing attached for you being directly interested in providing the environment. That's why that man, that centurion, who they came to and said, they said of Jesus that he's worthy, he built the temple up. They built the fellowship up. And he got a miracle for it. Amen. Offering is not just offering. It comes, you just pass it, you pass it, you pass it. Because you see, without the offering and the partnership, we won't be here. Amen. We might as well be online. I want you to understand the blessings that open your life up. Amen. Please, I'm telling you, please, I'm telling you, that open your life up. So there's that offering. He says, he calls it the collection for the saints. In another version, he talks about a similar thing. Quick. Then, there is the giving that I think is extremely important as well, that goes to the anointing. Now, this one is specifically, sometimes it's prophetic offering or whatever, it's specifically for a revelation that has been given. I'm winding up. This is the last thing I'm saying. So, Philippians 4:15. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. That element is called communication. Amen. When I minister, or when your man of God ministers, and you receive a revelation, there is an exchange that takes place by the giving to the revelation. Amen. Paul is calling it communicating. Amen. So in order for what has been taught to manifest, take root, and show up into your life, there must be a communication. Yeah. It's an exchange. Yeah. Revelation, that's why he said, they did not communicate with me as concerning, he gave, then receive. Hebrews 13:16. Last scripture I'm giving today. Hebrews 13:16. Quick. Be, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Do not forget. To walk into a word for a season, that communication is important. I haven't even touched sowing, fast fruits, just these ones. You move from time running out and you're doing nothing, just the ones I've taught you today. Amen. You move to open doors. We haven't even gone into actual wealth, yes, and abundance. Haven't gone into that yet. Don't let that spirit that constantly whispers and makes you, you know, someone who's always holding their money is theirs, they want to use other people's money. That is not your portion. The Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. It says the rich rule over the poor. There is no rulership for a poor person. You cannot shout dominion and you're broke. Not my portion, not yours. Praise the Lord. So, if anything you could go home with today, pick one of those things or all of it. Husbands, say amen. And future husbands. But I'm telling you, very, very, very important. I've reached a place in my life because there are levels of wealth. There are levels of wealth. You always look for the next level, and it has another level, another secret. But before you can jump into these other secrets, first sort out these very simple appreciation things. Please. These things of you're honoring other anointings, but you're not honoring your wife at home. You're not honoring your parents. What honoring are you doing? What honoring are you doing? No, let's be serious. And it's actually the reason why you can honor an anointing and you don't see the depth of that anointing manifest in your life because you're dishonoring everyone else. Wake up.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with a distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.